This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's get into our next guest. Joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline is Reg Manager David Bell. David, how's your day going today?
Tony, how you doing? It's been a
I'm very well. It's been a long time.
No
problem. We appreciate you coming on. First year in the manager's seat. How has it been thus far?
It's been great. You know, just trying to get acclimated, and you know, we're trying to accomplish a lot. But having the opportunity is something I'm just so grateful for, and to be able to do it in Cincinnati, you know, hometown, and being from there. It was an organization that I had spent 4 years in as a minor league manager, and you know, kind of have some relationships coming into this situation, which helped. And you know, I've competed against this team over the years. It's a really a good group, so just very, you know, blessed to be in this position, and it's a great responsibility.
Tell us a little bit about what you're focused on with this Reds ball club, David. It seems to me, with you guys coming to town this weekend, that it's been a little bit of a similar start to what the Padres have had in terms of your young pitchers have come through very nicely for you, and your hitters have gotten off to a little bit of a slow start.
Yeah, you know, it's an entirely new coaching staff. A lot of the core players have been here for a few years, yet there's some new faces, so trying to really just we've spent a lot of time trying to bring everything together and get everyone on the same page. And from that standpoint, it was a great spring training, and you know, even with not getting off to a great start, the team has really stayed together, and it's a group that really likes each other, which helps. And so all that is going well. Our starting pitching has been outstanding. Our bullpen has kept us in games. It's really all you can ask. We know this team is going to hit, and you know, we really believe it's a matter of time, and we believe in our offense. So even though our record doesn't show it, there's been a lot of really encouraging things up to this point.
Reds manager David Bell joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. David, I have a confession to make. I got a kick out of the situation that happened out in Pittsburgh. Seeing you with that intensity is something that Prince and I, as teammates of yours, we tried to pull it out of you all the time. You were relatively reserved. You didn't talk a lot. But I distinctly remember Prince and I going to your locker trying to get you revved up. It kind of showed itself a little bit as you had to kind of protect some of your guys out there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know, you said it. That's really what that's all about.
Right.
You know, it really is, and man, it's so good to hear your voice and hear Prince's name, because I do. It was a short amount of time, but I really enjoyed my time in Milwaukee, and you guys were great teammates, and do remember that. But in that situation, it's really all about protecting your team and protecting your players, and you know, I know that you know, there's, you know, unwritten rules that you know, that some people you know, play by. But when it comes to throwing a baseball 95 miles per hour anywhere near our players, it's dangerous, and that's not only our players but any players. And it's something that, you know, I'm pretty passionate about. You know, there's just no place in the game for intentionally throwing at any hitter at their head or really any part of their body. Just nothing good can come of that.
Nobody's been around baseball, I don't think, longer than David Bell, third-generation major leaguer. Grandfather Gus Bell played in the big leagues, your dad, Buddy Bell, and now David Bell, and, of course, your dad managed the Colorado Rockies. What do you think? I mean, this is kind of a hot topic in baseball right now, David, and that is this you know, how batters should react when they hit long home runs, and should they be able to put their personality into a little bit without fear of retribution? Where do you kind of come in on all of this?
I do believe that it's okay, and that's coming from someone that was taught to, you know, not show any emotion.
Yeah, right, that's right.
Didn't play with much, but, you know, things are different. You know, things are different now. We have to evolve, and there's nothing wrong with showing emotion. And, I mean, this is a difficult game that we're playing, and when you do something well, you know, you should be able to show your emotion and be able to celebrate that. There's nothing wrong with that. And until there's a rule against it, we have to, you know, abide by the rest of the rules. And there's rules that say you cannot intentionally throw at a hitter. So until there's a rule against celebrating, you know, we have to make sure we enforce those rules. So I think it would be a great change to the game to just make all that okay and to make it, you know, entertaining as much as we possibly can for the fans.
Well said. Very well said. David, we've noticed last few games, Joey Votto has been in the leadoff spot for you. Yesterday he hits the homer on an 0-2 pitch. Is it as simple as Joey's always got on base at a high clip, or is there something else that he's bringing to the table that you think can help your ball club with him in that spot?
Well, Tony, you said it again, and it's really about his ability to get on base. And you know, we believe in our lineup and our hitters, and we really like the middle of our lineup. And you know, certainly Joey could hit in any spot and be exactly who he is and be effective. But he has a real gift and ability and track record of being able to get on base. So if we can get people, you know, get our hitters on base, I really believe it gives us our best chance to score runs when those guys in the middle of the order come up.
David Bell joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, the manager of the Cincinnati Reds. I want to ask you about a player that I don't think a lot of San Diego people are familiar with, but I think he's one of the most interesting players in all of baseball on your roster, and that's Michael Lorenzen, a relief pitcher, an outfielder, a pinch hitter, pinch runner, whatever you want him to be. He finished the game in center field last night, and I was talking to some of your writers from Cincinnati, and they said that Lorenzen might just be the best defensive center fielder you have, which I don't know I've ever heard a pitcher described as such. Tell us a little bit about this guy and what makes him unique.
Well, I've never seen anything like it, that's for sure. I kind of came into this situation just with an open mind, and the more I talked to Michael and the more I heard the conviction and the way he was preparing himself and his work ethic this offseason and then in spring training, where, you know, he was not satisfied with, he believed in his ability to help our team in multiple ways, and he was not going to be satisfied with only being a pitcher, which is, you know, crazy to think about, because he's a good one and he's an important one to our staff. So for me, it came down to really not wanting to limit one of our players that, you know, had every intention to do what he could to help this team win. And he believed in his ability. The more I saw it, the more I believed in it. You know, we do have to be smart about it. You know, he is still a pitcher first. And, you know, that's a bit of a challenge just because he's in such great shape. He takes incredible care of himself and prepares so much every day that he, yeah, you know, he thinks he's ready to do all three of them each day, and as a manager and a coaching staff, we got to protect him from that a little bit. But if we can do that, he's very special. I mean, I don't think we've seen anything quite like that, and hopefully we can be smart about it and make that last for a long time.
Not to knock any of your other sluggers, but I think just for fun later in the season, you ought to pitch him and stick him in the number four hole one game just to say that we had a pitcher bat cleanup. I think that would really be great. Talking for pitchers who think they can hit all over the world.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's what's great about the game now. There's not a whole lot of rules to follow, and if you think it gives your team the best chance to win, you know, you can do it, which is pretty exciting. So I don't know that will happen, but
yeah.
David, I want to ask you a little bit about the move some your front office made. You guys make a big deal with the Dodgers. You bring in Alex Wood, Matt Kemp, Yasiel Puig, and you guys have quite a few outfielders. How do you see Yasiel and Matt kind of fitting into the mix? Obviously, they seem like they'll be big pieces for you guys this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, not only the players that they are, but the success that they've had, the level of experience they've had, both individually and as a team. You know, just their experiences with, you know, playing on really good teams, playing on playoff World Series teams. It just brings a different element that's, you know, that you can only get from experience. So not only what they bring on the field, but just that level of expectations. And, you know, not only those guys, but we also added Tanner Roark and Sonny yeah. Gray and Zach Duke. And all those guys just have great experiences to bring to this group. It's not a young, a super young team, but there is quite a bit of youth, and it just makes for a really good balance. But those two guys are, you know, Yasiel has been outstanding since he's from day one. He loves being here. He brings an energy. He's been a great teammate. He plays hard. I mean, he has a real desire to win. And then Matt, he's been doing it for a lot of years, and he can. Yeah. He just adds an element to your lineup and of just kind of a presence that that, you know, again, you can't teach.
Yeah, no doubt. David Bell, Cincinnati Reds manager. David, appreciate you coming on. If I have some time after the show, I'm going to get down there to say hello. But good luck the rest of the season, and good to talk to you again.
You too. All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the time, David. Appreciate it.
As I said, David Bell, Cincinnati Reds manager. That was I was on the SDCCU fan hotline. Nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at SDCCU.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big banking. It's better.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's find out what's happening with your San Diego Padres.
That's a fair ball. Call fair over the bag at first base.
It's time to go inside the clubhouse on Friar Friday, right here on Gwynn and Chris, on your home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan.
Gwynn and Chris and the debut of our Friar Fridays, and batting leadoff for us in this segment is Padres first baseman Eric Hosmer. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Let's just get this out of the way, the same way you guys want to get this losing streak out of the way. As a veteran, how do you deal with a little four-game slide? How do you, or do you even talk to the younger players about how to maybe get out of this a little bit?
Yeah, you know, this is something that over the course of the year, this stuff's going to happen. You have to, I think really we've done a good job of taking each series by each series. And, you know, the last one against Colorado was a quick two-game one and tried turning the page. But dropped the first one here against Cincinnati, but we have, you know, three more games in this series. So I think we salvage this one tonight, even it out, and then, you know, try and win the series from here on out.
Eric, describe a little bit about the mental warfare that goes on, right? It's early. We're not even through April yet. And for guys who may have gotten off to a slow start, talk about that, because it's not just as simple as, you know, you're not getting hits. Some guys are hitting balls hard, and they're not getting any love for it. Talk a little bit about what's going on mentally when you're trying to get through those type of days.
Yeah, I think, you know, the more and more, you know, the more years you have in, I think you try and understand, you just want that feeling as a hitter. You want that feel of, you know, I can kind of manipulate the barrel right now and hit the ball where I want to hit the ball. And, you know, I think if you have that, then you trust that the results will be there. I think it's harder for younger guys as well, because you know, you want to get out to a good start. You want to look on the scoreboard and see the numbers that, you know, you want to have up there. But you just have to trust your plan. You have to trust your routine and trust that if you have that feel and if you can, you know, be consistent with your approach, that the numbers will be there at the end of the year.
Eric Hosmer joins us, SDCCU Fan Hotline, our Friar Friday interview from the Padre dugout here at Petco Park. First of all, it was great that you came to the Padres, and everybody was so excited to have you in San Diego. Now that Machado has come here, these kids have come up, there's another round of excitement with this team. How happy are you with the decision you made last year?
Oh, big time. It's been exciting times here. The energy's it's definitely shifting in the right direction, and you know, you can feel it here. You can feel it. You see the young core group of guys that are here already. You see the guys that are going to take over and eventually lead this team to the promised land on where we all want to go. And it's been fun, especially you know, when you break spring training with the guys that truly deserve to make the team, the best players, and you know, you see the moves that ownership made, not only in free agency, but calling some of these younger guys up as well. It's just motivating to play, and it's motivating to be on a team that's doing everything they can to try and win.
Now, Eric, you've had almost a month with the two new faces, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr. What kind of impact have you seen having those two guys in the lineup every day and on the field every day?
It's been huge. I mean, those guys are game-changing players on both of the diamond, offensively and defensively. You know, you've already seen them flashing the leather. You've already seen them having big hits. And, you know, I think that's one of the key things, you know, so far in the beginning of the season is as an offense and as a whole in general, you know, we haven't really been firing on all cylinders, but have really bared down in some key moments, gotten some big hits, and answered some big innings when, you know, our bullpen, who's lights out a couple times during the road trip, you know, gave up a lead. We did a good job of answering the next inning and getting back the lead and just doing good things that, you know, winning teams do. And then when we get to the point where we're firing on all cylinders, it should be fun to watch.
All right, part of Friars Friday is that we get to ask you a couple of fun things, or at least that's my rule. I was reading somewhere that you were interested in baseball at a very young age, took it up at 5, 6, 7 years old, and it said on your Wikipedia page, so tell me it's wrong if it is, that you owned a Tony Gwynn T-ball hitting machine when you were a kid. Is that true?
Yeah, the solo hitter.
My God.
Junior and I have talked about that plenty.
Okay, you had one then. All right.
I wore it out. I did.
That's cool. Now, what was that? I mean, what you just – the.
It was like a – It's kind of hard to explain. It's like a little mount with a net on it, and there's a string with the ball.
Oh, okay.
And you're supposed to hit it, and it comes back. But Haas and his brother got so good at it, they would actually pull the ball back and fire it at each other like it was a real pitch.
It was a pitch coming in. Yeah, the solo hitter can't beat it, man. That thing lasted me for like 6, 7 years, too. It was amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah. Eric, when it comes to this young core that's here, and I know you're a veteran, but in my mind, you're still a pretty young player in this league. What are some of the challenges when you have such a young team and you're trying to, you know, progress pretty quickly in order to be a team that's competing for a playoff spot?
You know, I don't think it's – I think it's just something that, you know, you got to voice stuff out a little more, especially, you know, kind of like we're doing now. We're going through a little rough patch, and you just continue to let the guys know. You know, keep plugging away. This stuff happens throughout the course of the season, and it happens through every team. You know, we're not the only team that's going to drop 4 straight throughout the year. So the good teams find ways to respond to situations like this. So usually when you're in a clubhouse with guys that have been around a little more, it's stuff you don't really have to talk about. You just know you got to get it done. And here, I think it's something that you just let these guys know. You know, other teams are going through this same thing, but the good teams are the ones that find a way out of this as quick as possible.
Okay. What's the favorite piece of hardware you have? And I'm not counting your World Series ring. You get, because I would assume that would be on top. But you got your 4 gold gloves. You got your 3rd in the Rookie of the Year balloting. You got your Silver Slugger Award. You got All-Star Game MVP. He's got a hell of a resume, this guy, Eric Hosmer. I don't know if you guys are aware of all that. But what's your favorite of those?
The All-Star Game MVP was really special. Huh. You know, it was really cool, you know, being in a clubhouse with such great talent. Mm-hmm. It was Big Poppy's last year. And, you know, I think it was one of those moments where you just kind of look around on the baseball field and you embrace the talent and the guys around you, and you embrace, you know, where you are in that specific moment. And it was here in San Diego. It was a day game. It was just a beautiful setting. And it was just kind of one of those moments where I really just soaked in the whole experience, and was just really proud of myself for being able to be an all-star with those guys and eventually be the MVP of that game.
It's nice to know that these guys are in awe of how good these guys are,
right?
Like we are sometimes.
That's how good this league is.
Exactly. Eric, thanks so much for kicking off our Friar Fridays. Enjoy the visit, and let's get this thing rolling right away again.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If Scraby can get through this big five without messing it up.
Ha ha! Wow!
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I think Chris is clapping to keep warm.
Yeah, mostly. That and the fact that I'm applauding everyone in the press box stopped eating their dinner because they want to hear you do the Big Five.
Oh,
so.
Man, I have a lot of people staring at me right now. This is a little awkward.
Don't mess it up!
You know, a lot of the times when I talk to people around, they always say, man, tell Tony and Chris to take it easy on you. And so sometimes the guys say, and they look at me like, is he okay? I'm okay, guys. I'm okay. Because well, you always you, ask me if I'm okay.
If you would stop doing weird things like landing planes in the middle of our show or giving weird sign language that we don't know what it means, it would go a long way.
And the look on my face is, come on, idiots, figure it out. Let's get to number five.
Number five.
Tiger Woods not only won the Masters, but now there's going to be a little Tiger running around because 25-year-old Trey Little bet his wife Denise that if Woods won this year's Masters, they would name their son after the 15-time major champion. And with Tiger taking it all at Augusta National, a little Tiger is on the way. It turns out they had been hoping, or at least the husband had been hoping to name their son Tiger as soon as they realized they had a baby boy. Now with the baby due in September, Trey has just a few months to go until his dreams come true because they were watching the Masters and they were thinking, oh my gosh, this is actually going to happen because the wife actually accepted the bet thinking, Tiger's never going to win another major, so we're fine. You can have this. And in order to secure the bet, Trey even brought his wife a written contract before the Masters begin, one that granted him, quote, the option of naming our son Tiger Little, end quote.
This is awesome.
Yes. Tony, if you were Trey Little, would you hold your wife to the contract?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? I win no arguments in my household.
None.
Even if I have a contract. If I have it, even if I have the argument recorded, I still lose. So if I can get a win in the column, I'm absolutely taking it. I don't care if it is Tiger. What is it? Tiger Little?
Tiger Little.
Yes, I'm taking it.
What do you think, Chris? Would you hold your wife to the contract?
I just want to tell Tony that he's 0 for I don't know how many years you've been married, but I'm 0 for double that.
Oh, man.
So just understand that you got a long way to go to catch Chris Davis's record of futility in winning arguments. Yeah, I mean, if he went through this much, he might as well see it through.
Finish it, right?
He might as well see it through. She ought to come back, though, with one little quick argument. Although this, I don't know, is a better name than Tiger. Remember, his real name is Eldrick.
Yes.
So if you're naming him after the baby, after Tiger Woods, you got to get a little Eldrick in there somewhere. So just keep that in mind.
You know, you guys, working with you guys over the past year, we have talks off the air about marriage and stuff, and you guys have scared me out of marriage, that's for sure, because, you know.
I hope we haven't done that.
Chris spent maybe 30 minutes talking to us about how he's going to get out of something. Now, I'm not going to say what it is, but he's been telling me that he's been trying to think of ways to get out of something for all day. So
right. That's part of
but
the marriage.
But that's
life.
Marriage, right? And that's part of the fun of the whole thing,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I wasn't married, there would be no consequence to what I did this afternoon.
It'd be like it'd be like hitting a home run and doing cartwheels. I mean, you could
or no just be like hitting a home run in an empty stadium.
That's a
that
great
too.
Way to put it.
That way.
But see what the all I did today was back into my garage.
Oh, he's going to admit it.
He's incriminating himself.
It's not an incrimination. I mean, it's just an admission.
So you tried to back out of your garage without raising the garage door. He's just
pretty much.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Wow.
And
funny because I've done the same thing.
My before. First thing was as I looked at the car. The car's okay.
Right. That's the first thing. That's the most important part.
Oh, yeah. The car actually survived it okay. I didn't, you know, speed out of there, but bumped into it. And the garage took a little bit of a hit. So Lori is going to find out.
She's not in town right now. That's why you're freely able to say
exactly.
This.
She's not in town for a couple days, but she will find out soon. And
will we see you on Monday?
That's right. Questionable.
Let's move to number four. I'm already uncomfortable.
Number four.
Our society is offended by a lot of things. This being the latest. The day after the New York Daily News reported that the New York Yankees scrapped their 18-year tradition of playing Kate Smith's 1939 rendition of God Bless America during home games, the NHL's Philadelphia Flyers have done the same. They announced they will no longer play Smith's song at the Wells Fargo Center and have also covered up a statue outside of the arena. Although Smith died in 1986, she's long had a unique connection with the Flyers because the team began playing her recorded version of God Bless America in 1969. The reason they are doing this is because people are now looking at past songs that have major racist undertones to them, which were recorded in the 30s. People are thinking we shouldn't honor someone who was clearly so racist. So, Chris, do you think Kate Smith's songs should be banned from sporting events?
Well, let me just first ask, are the people that are upset saying that the song God Bless America itself
no.
is racist?
No, they're saying guilty
they're
by
saying
association.
That Kate Smith is guilty by association.
I didn't really want to bring this up, but she...
Guilty
she,
by association? I don't think it's guilty by association.
She sang some songs that had racist
right.
overtones.
That's why Darkies Were Born.
Yes,
that's one of the name of the song, titles of her songs.
Yes. And there was another one where
well, I'm going to sound pretty insensitive here if I say that they shouldn't wipe out Kate Smith's version of God Bless America. But I will say that I'm a little saddened by the news because I remember this as a kid growing up. And whenever the Flyers would play her rendition of God Bless America before a hockey game, everybody'd go crazy. They would win. They won a couple of Stanley Cups. It really was a big part, such a big part of the Flyers that they put a statue of her out in front. But just the same way that they've taken down a lot of those Confederate statues in the South, you know, those people were heroic, quote heroic at one time, but the day has come that those statues have to come down. And if that's what Kate Smith's associated with, then she's got to come down too.
Tony?
Yeah. It's a new day. It's a new day. You can't. People don't want to be associated with these type of things, ultimately. And especially big organizations like the Flyers, like the Yankees, that, you know, take money from all different walks of life. So you have to be sensitive to that. And this is right up that line right there.
I'm going to play devil's advocate because I was listening to Doug Gottlieb earlier before our show, and he was saying that how do these things all of a sudden become an outrage? Does someone just put two and two together? And should we be outraged by something that wasn't outraging when it happened? Like, if someone came out today and made a song, like you said, that would be terrible. But this happened in the 30s, so it was not as
so why weren't
outrageous.
People outraged in the 70s is what...
Yeah,
you're asking.
Yeah, exactly. 70s, 80s, 90s.
And because people, you know, it was still accepted in certain during the 70s for a large scale.
I would say in this particular instance, I would think it was just not even having
knowing.
Knowledge
right.
that Kate Smith was connected to songs like these. And then once it was discovered, I just think this was the time it came out because it's certainly something that needed to be addressed. Once
Listen,
we found out about it.
No disrespect to Doug Gottlieb, but that's just that to me is a lazy argument that, oh, because nobody cared back in the 70s, why are we caring now? I mean, that's like saying, well, we had slavery at one time, too, and nobody
we didn't
cared
care
about
then.
That either.
Yeah,
so
right.
which we did, was that acceptable then? No. So I think the Yankees and the Flyers are doing the right thing.
All right, Thomas.
Number three.
The Alliance of American Football filed for bankruptcy protection on Wednesday in the aftermath of the league folding. And co-founder Charlie Ebersole has actually done an interview and broke his silence. He says, I know everyone has conspiracy theories, but unfortunately this may have just died because the main investor and the founders had different visions of what the company was supposed to be. Our long-term vision for building something slowly and getting enterprise value was not aligned with Tom Dundon's vision of how he saw the league. End quote. They filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy, which does not involve the filing of a plan of repayment as in Chapter 13. Instead, the bankruptcy trustee gathers and sells the debtor's non-exempt assets and uses the proceeds of such assets to pay holders of claims in accordance with the provisions of the bankruptcy code. I took that from the tax website.
I was about to say, you don't know that.
No, I have no idea what that meant, even though I have my dad is an accountant, my brother is an accountant, but no idea. Some vendors are actually still waiting on a lot of money and may not see the money for some time, or if at all. So, Tony, should the founders of the league be held criminally responsible for money owed?
Criminally responsible?
Not jail time, but should they have to pay out of their own pocket for these people doing work and they're not going to get paid for it?
I'm not so sure. I'm not 100% sure how these things work, but I am sure that when you sign on to a league that is competing against the NFL, there's some risk in that. You have to know there's some risk.
So you're saying
in that.
The vendors know that.
The vendors should know that there's some risk in that. Clearly, it's not the NFL, and it going up against the biggest, baddest league in all of sports. I just seem like there's a little bit of risk there. You would understand that going in there, but they should ultimately get their money. I mean, I don't know if they get it in a timely fashion, but at the end of the day, yes, they should get their money.
Chris?
I would love it in a perfect world if they all got paid, but they're not going to get paid, and what they're going to do is raise the rates on everybody else to make up for the money that they didn't get paid. This is what happens. I'm not a huge fan of bankruptcy. I see it in certain instances where it's about the only thing left to somebody. But bankruptcy is a hell of a nice way to escape a lot
bad decisions.
Of bad decisions, yeah. And problems that you have. And frankly, you don't wind up paying the price. Everybody else winds up paying the price. I guarantee you that if there's some insurance company that's losing a couple of million dollars because they were part of the AAF and are now not going to get their money, they'll not lose their money. It's just they'll raise the rates on all of us to make up for it. So bankruptcy's a weird deal. I can't say they should eliminate it. It's part of our law, and it's something that's available to people, but
it seems like
a little bit of an easy way out.
Can you please break down the decision to go Chapter 7 over Chapter 13?
No.
Okay, number two.
Number two.
John Gruden has had an up-and-down year plus with the Raiders, but many pointed to this year's draft as the real beginning of the John Gruden era. And it may not be going well for Gruden, because according to the NFL Network, coach John Gruden and general manager Mike Mayock sent all of their scouts home, and they will not be back before next Thursday's draft begins. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport tweeted, quote, "The belief is that they don't know who to trust and wanted to clear the room," end quote. With all, Chris, with all the drama the last year, do you have faith that John Gruden is still going to turn this around?
Not a lot.
They don't trust their scouts?
I don't really know about that or care about that. I just think I'm going to address John Gruden, and I really like him, but I really do think there's a disconnect from John Gruden, the coach who won a Super Bowl, and John Gruden, the coach now. And it just looked like there was a disconnect all last season. And you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I don't think he's going to change a whole lot. So I just don't know that they're ever going to quite connect there in Oakland. So that and the fact that it's not the world's greatest organization to begin with. So he's working under a bit of a handicap. And they're also trying to do this while they're moving to Las Vegas. So they got a lot of moving parts.
Tony?
I am hopeful that he can turn it around. I like Chris, do like John Gruden a lot. I gained much of my like for him after he, you know, became a broadcaster / commentator for ESPN. That being said, I think it's tricky here, right? Because the timing has to be right. They want to be good that first year in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
They can't they don't really want to have a year where they're like really good the year before and then they go to Vegas and they're not very good. That's not the way they want to build this. So I think at the end he'll be able to turn it around. I think this whole not trusting his scouts, I mean, it makes some sense if you think about it. I mean, he just took over the team last year. They haven't really had to have a big draft yet, like an important one like this one's going to be. So getting all the information from your scouts and then maybe moving them out and him and Mayock having that conversation, kind of going from there, we'll see how it goes. But it's certainly a little unorthodox.
I'm sorry. Chris just pulled his lunch out of his briefcase, and it looks like corn on the cob.
It did look like corn on the cob.
What? Okay. Number one.
I'm glad I can entertain you so much.
I just was like, what did he just bring? A corn on the cob to the stadium? All right, real quick, because we only got a couple minutes left. I read an MLB.
Why could this not be a hot dog? I mean, it's got
that
shape.
It could have been a
hot
dog, too.
It looks like corn on the cob. Braden? Oh, because he's Elo. That's why.
That's why it wouldn't be a hot dog.
All right, I read an MLB.com story today about the NL West secret weapons. Who do you think they said is the secret weapon?
In what, the whole division?
In NL West.
For the NL West secret weapon.
For the Padres? Yes, for the Padres.
It's not Fernando, because he's not a secret.
No.
Okay.
So each team has a secret weapon?
Okay. Is it Franmil Reyes?
Ding, ding, ding.
The list is based off big time.
Yes. The list is based off most barrels per plate appearance with a minimum of 30 plate appearances 2019. A barrel is a StatCast metric measuring ideal contact, the prime combination of exit velocity and launch angle, and Reyes is in elite company. He hits the ball as well as anyone, and it's not showing up yet but he is hitting, or he's slugging 510 with a 224 average. So, Tony, how long do hard hits buy you in the lineup?
Hard hits buy you a lot of time in the lineup because you can see it, right? The manager's sitting down there, you can see the ball coming off the bat. Now, and when you're comparing that to somebody who's not, it's a very easy choice. It's like, are you going to go with the guy who's continuing to hit barrel, even though he's not getting hits, or are you going to go with the guy who keeps, you know, inside out and balls hitting them off the end, getting jammed, whatever it is, right? So I think it can buy you a lot of time as long as you have somebody who's watching that knows what they're doing.
Chris?
I just think that you can see Franmil Reyes play and watch what he's doing and come to the determination that he deserves more at-bats based on the way he's hitting the ball. I don't think you need this stupid stat cast thing to tell you that he's barreling up a certain percentage and his launch angle and exit velocity is up there among the league leaders. Just watch the game. He hits the ball harder than anybody, and as long as he keeps hitting the ball hard, he's going to play.
Thank you, guys.
That's all for the Big Five from Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes, indeed. Had our first Friar Friday today. A.J. Preller joined Coach Quintero this morning. We were lucky enough to have Eric Hosmer down in the dugout. Two fantastic interviews, and it doesn't stop there.
No.
Joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, A.J. Cassavall of MLB.com. A.J., how you doing?
Good. So you're saying I'm the second most important AJ to come on?
No, very close.
We need to be honest. He's the second most important today.
I'll take it.
You get Dave. You get the GM on, and his name happens to be AJ. You're gonna have to take it back.
A lot of AJs in the organization.
There's a bunch of AJs
Ellis now too.
So AJ, yesterday, really not yesterday. We've been highlighting the issues the Padres have had at the top of the lineup, being the leadoff spot all season long. Yesterday, they pop in the young kid, and what do you know? 500. He's on there two times out of four at bats. Of course, the Padres don't take advantage of those leadoff guys, the six of them that got on yesterday. Where do the Padres go from here?
They have holes in their lineup, and they can shuffle Fernando Tatis Jr. wherever they want him. They need the other guys to hit too.
Right,
if they can
right.
hit him first, then they need the number five or six guy to hit. If they hit him six, they need the number one guy to hit. So the answer isn't just moving guys around. The answer is getting your catcher, your first baseman, and your second baseman kind of on the board a little bit better than what they've been so far this season at the plate. They've struggled in those three spots, and that's essentially three-eighths of your lineup that's struggling. So that's what needs to turn around. And then if you bat Tatis first, he'll be scoring, and if you bat him sixth, he'll be driving runs in.
I like the way you're thinking.
God, that was really good, AJ. Thanks a lot for joining us, man. You just summed up everything I wanted to ask you, I think, on that one question. Let's talk a little bit about Francisco Mejia, the other young phenom. You know, they made the decision to put him on the big league roster. I think that surprised some people right at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Sharing time with Austin Hedges. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk with him or what the feeling is, but he's off to a slow start, but I think a lot of that might just have to do with the fact he's not playing all that often. I mean, it's hard enough, right, Tony, to play two or three times a week as it is, and I would think it would be even harder when you're a young player. What do you think,
especially
AJ?
When you're a young catcher.
Yeah,
When you're worrying about the defensive strides you have to make behind the plate. So I think there is something to be said about how much is he going to develop being here and not playing very often behind Austin Hedges. Is the goal development? No, they want to win baseball games. But at the same time, you've got a 23-year-old catcher who has some serious potential. You want to get the most out of it. So I think it's fair to say Francisco Mejia needs more reps. Then you have to ask the question, are those reps here in the majors or are they at AAA? And I don't know the answer to that, but if he's playing the amount that he's playing right now, he's not going to develop into this very good catcher that the Padres think he could be.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the Padres are still trying to decide or weigh which one is more important to them right now, mm-hmm. because you don't trade a Brad Hand for a number one prospect in another organization at the catching position unless you believe that he can be a really good player for you. Now you're weighing, are we stunning his growth by having him up at the big league level, being a backup? I want to talk to you a little bit about Jose Perella. He gets the call up today. He had a terrific spring training. You mentioned second base being a kind of a rough spot for the Padres right now. Does he get a chance to play in that second base spot at all, you think?
He might, and I'm just so kind of perplexed by what they do at second base because they have options, but none of them have performed really.
Right.
And Perella's performed at AAA, but he's played a lot of outfield down there.
Okay.
The question is, like, he's obviously not nearly on the level of Kinsler or Urias defensively. Not even close.
Not even close.
But if he's hitting like he's been hitting and you're trying to win ball games now, well, if he's the answer at second base and the left side of your infield is Machado and Tatis and your first baseman's Eric Hosmer, maybe you're not sacrificing that much infield defense-wise if you kind of give in a little bit on defense and just go for the offense. And if you want to put Perella there, if you want to put him at second base and say, all right, you're going to play – you don't have to say you're going to play second base for the rest of the season.
Right.
But you could – maybe win a few ball games now by putting him there and then figure out second base later.
He's definitely turned himself into a serviceable infielder in the short stint that he's been here with the Padres, because that first year he came up, second base was a little bit of an issue. So was the outfield. Now he's turned himself into a guy that can actually go out there and make the routine plays. It's just a question is that the route the Padres want to go? It'll be interesting to find out.
AJ Cassavell is with us from MLB.com, SDCCU fan hotline. AJ, let me ask you a little bit about Eric Hosmer, and we're going to have him on our Friar Friday interview here in a few minutes, but a veteran you don't really worry about when the average is a little lower in April, but I would think that coming off of last season, and we know that, we talked about him really wanting to turn this thing around this year because he felt like he let this organization down a little bit last year, did not put up the kind of numbers he's capable of. Is there any concern in the organization about Hosmer right now? Or is it, we know what he can do and he'll get it done?
Yeah, I mean, he's hitting 194 or whatever it is, and his OPS is below 600. So there is concern.
Yeah.
That being said, I think after what he did last season, like, there has to be concern. You have to look at those numbers and say, well, we didn't get production from him last year, and we're not getting it this year. What needs to change? But there are some subtle things that I think have been changing a little bit. He's been hitting the ball.
Yeah.
He's been hitting the ball in the air a little bit better. If you look at his ground ball rate, it's down a little bit. That was his issue last year. There's some small things that lend themselves to say, oh, maybe Eric Hosmer could turn a corner and that this is just a small sample size this year, he needs to go out and do it now. He needs to kind of, if this process that he's going through right now, if it keeps up, more balls are going to fall in and he's not going to hit 194. He's going to hit closer to what the Padres want him to hit.
Yeah.
But when you're in a slump, what happens?
There's 10 fielders out there.
Yeah, when you're in a slump, and it might adjust the way that you feel and the way that you think and the way that you approach your at-bats, and when that happens, then the numbers fall right along with it. So I'm curious to see kind of how he performs over the next week or two, given that he's been doing some good things, but some of his at-bats haven't necessarily been there.
AJ, we talked about Mejia and his situation. Luis Urias kind of falls into that same boat to me, because last year he came up, looked terrific defensively, struggled with the bat. This spring, at times he looked like the game was just really sped up on him, and it kind of looks like that now offensively. Defensively, I don't think there's any worry from anybody in the organization. What do the Padres do with Luis Urias? I mean, because clearly you brought up Fernando Tatis Jr. and seen him really hit the ground running. That hasn't quite been the case with Luis Urias. What do the Padres do there?
Yeah, and it's kind of an unfair standard to hold him to.
It is. It is. I
wasn't
trying to compare the two, but when you look at, you know, rookies coming up, Fernando clearly, he's the number one prospect for a reason. So you expect that from him. But Luis Urias was thought of very highly from an offensive standpoint as well. Maybe not on the level that Tatis Jr. was, but certainly on the level where you thought he would come here and be able to find his footing.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I think it's fair to expect him to perform better than what he's been doing right now. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know whether the Padres think we need to give him everyday at-bats. We need him competing for those everyday at-bats. If Urias is hitting 100 like he's hitting right now, the Padres probably think, you know what, we don't want to give you everyday playing time. You kind of have to earn that playing time.
Right.
You have to compete with it. Ian Kinsler hasn't been a whole lot better, but they want those two guys competing for that time and winning that time. And if Urias wins that time, great, they'll be happy. They'll love it. That's probably what they're rooting
the
for,
ideal,
considering
right.
he's their second baseman of the future. But if he doesn't, then the question gets, and he keeps struggling like this for a little bit, then the question gets asked, is it worth giving him these reps here, or is it worth more to be giving him reps at AAA too, similar to the conversation we just had about Mejia.
Yeah.
AJ, isn't it interesting how the outfield situation has changed so rapidly? We went from six guys and a plethora to three. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really don't even have a backup. I mean, Perel obviously can play some if need be, but it's just, you know, from day to day, week to week, the whole makeup of the ball club looks a little different. What are they saying about this outfield situation right now? Obviously, Margot won't be gone too long with the paternal leave, but interesting nonetheless.
It all speaks to Franchi Cordero's absence.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. And it's a big deal because of all the things he could do on just about every aspect of the game.
Yeah.
He can run, he can play all three outfield spots. And you look at kind of the last 24 hours and the way they've shaken out, I think he's the biggest miss of anyone right now, because last night, seventh inning, I think they sent Margot, Hedges, Urias, and Kinsler in the eighth, and against tough Reds righty relievers.
Right.
That's a prime Franchi Cordero spot in a close game. That is exactly where you want him in there if he's not already in the starting lineup. And then today, Margot's gone, and you need a center fielder, and you're turning to Will Myers, who, he's been okay there, but he's not a center fielder by any stretch.
No. Yeah.
And so you'd love to have Franchi Cordero there. So he's been a big absence. Where that leaves the Padres, well, they go with what they've got. And what they've got right now is three guys who can hit, but no center fielder. So they put Will Myers there. And it's not a long-term absence for Margot. But having Cordero just, to me, added that dynamic where you had that lefty when you needed him, whether it was pinch hitting or double switching or starting him against right-handers. And that's a really big loss. That it was exciting when Urias got called up, because that's an exciting thing happening to the organization, a top prospect. But maybe we didn't give enough attention to Franchi Cordero going down.
Again, as always, AJ Casafall is right on point. I totally agree. We kind of all slept on the whole Franchi Cordero elbow thing going down. So, AJ, as always, man, we appreciate your time, brother, and we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
Good stuff, AJ. Thank you so much.
AJ Casavall, there, MLB.com's AJ Casavall on the SDCCU hotline. Nominated SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Reader's Poll daily at SDCCU.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union, it's not big banking, it's better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.